Chapter 2. What the Church Can Do. Convincing Power. The world will be convinced, not by what the pulpit teaches, but by what the church lives. The minister in the desk announces the theory of the gospel. The practical piety of the church demonstrates its power. Testimonies for the Church 7:16. The Church, an angel of light. We have no time to waste. God has provided a means of recovery for sinners. By unselfish work, His truth is to be represented. This is the trust He has given us, and it is to be faithfully executed. When will the church do her appointed work? She is represented as an angel of light, flying through heaven with the everlasting gospel to be proclaimed to the world. This represents the speed and directness with which the church is to prosecute her work. In the medical missionary work, Jesus is to behold the travail of His soul. Human beings are to be snatched as brands from the burning. Unite our efforts. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. Testimonies for the Church 9:117. Development of talent in the churches. In every church there is talent, which, with the right kind of labor, might be developed to become a great help in this work. That which is needed now for the upbuilding of our churches is the nice work of wise laborers to discern and develop talent in the church, talent that can be educated for the Master's use. There should be a well-organized plan for the employment of workers to go into all our churches, large and small, to instruct the members how to labor for the upbuilding of the church, and also for unbelievers. It is training, education, that is needed. Those who labor in visiting the churches should give the brethren and sisters instruction in practical methods of doing missionary work. Testimonies for the Church 9:117. All the preaching in the world will not make men feel deeply the need of the perishing souls around them. Nothing will so arouse in men and women a self-sacrificing zeal as to send them forth into new fields to work for those in darkness. Prepare workers to go out into the highways and hedges. Do not call men and women to the great center, encouraging them to leave churches that need their aid. Men must learn to bear responsibilities. Not one in 100 among us is doing anything beyond engaging in common, worldly enterprises. We are not half awake to the worth of the souls for whom Christ died. Testimonies for the Church 8:147-148. We are bought with the price of Christ's own life, bought that we may return to God His own in faithful service. We have no time now to give our energies and talents to worldly enterprises. Shall we become absorbed in serving the world, serving ourselves, and lose eternal life and the everlasting bliss of heaven? Oh, we cannot afford to do this. Let every talent be employed in the work of God. Testimonies for the Church 9:104. A call for greater effort. Every addition to the church should be one more agency for the carrying out of the plan of redemption. Every power of God's people should be devoted to bringing many sons and daughters to Him. In our service, there is to be no indifference, no selfishness. Any departure from self-denial, any relaxation of earnest effort, means so much power given to the enemy. Testimonies for the Church 7:222. The simplest modes of work. The very simplest modes of work should be devised and set in operation among the churches. If members will cooperate with such a plan, and perseveringly carry it out, they will reap a rich reward, for their experience will grow brighter, their ability will increase through exercise, and souls will be saved through their efforts. Formation of small companies. Why do not believers feel a deeper, more earnest concern for those who are out of Christ? Why do not two or three meet together and plead with God for the salvation of some special one, and then for still another? In our churches, let companies be formed for service. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. Let them seek to gather souls from the corruption of the world into the saving purity of Christ's love. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot err. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members, but for unbelievers. If in one place there are only two or three who know the truth, let them form themselves into a band of workers. Let them keep their bond of union unbroken, pressing together in love and unity, encouraging one another to advance, each gaining courage and strength from the assistance of the others. Testimonies for the Church, 7:21-22. Holding small meetings. Those who know not the truth should be prayed with and instructed. Many can take up this work. Small meetings should now be arranged for, in which two or three workers unite in explaining the truth to the people. Such meetings have been held in many places, and as a result, people have been brought into the truth, and meeting houses have been built. At first, the work may have to be carried on in a room in a private house. Perhaps, if the weather is favorable, the meeting can be held out of doors. Give a kindly welcome to all who come. Draw near to God and to one another. Let songs of praise be sung. Let the Word of God be simply and clearly explained. Such a service will make a lasting impression. Humble laborers. There are men who never gave a discourse in their lives, who ought to be laboring to save souls. Neither great talents nor high position is required. But there is urgent need of men and women who are acquainted with Jesus and familiar with the story of his life and death. Workers from the ranks. Those whom God chooses as workers are not always talented in the estimation of the world. Sometimes he selects unlearned men. To these he gives a special work. They reach a class to whom others could not obtain access. Opening the heart to the truth, they are made wise in and through Christ. Their lives inhale and exhale the fragrance of godliness. Their words are thoughtfully considered before they are spoken. They strive to promote the well-being of their fellow men. They take relief and happiness to the needy and distressed. They realize the necessity of ever remaining under Christ's training, that they may work in harmony with God's will. They study how best to follow the Savior's example of cross-bearing and self-denial. They are God's witnesses, revealing His compassion and love, and ascribing all the glory to Him whom they love and serve. Constantly they are learning of the great teacher, and constantly they reach higher degrees of excellence, yet all the time feeling a sense of their weakness and inefficiency. They are drawn upward by their strong, loving admiration for Christ. They practice His virtues, for their life is assimilated to His. Ever they move onward and upward, a blessing to the world and an honor to their Redeemer. Of them Christ says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 5, verse 5. Such workers are to be encouraged. Their work is done not to be seen of men, but to glorify God, and it will bear His inspection. The Lord brings these workers into connection with those of more marked ability to fill the gaps they leave. He is well pleased when they are appreciated, for they are links in His chain of service. Men who are self-important, who are filled with the thought of their own superior abilities, overlook these humble, contrite workers. But not for one moment does God lose sight of them. He marks all that they do to help those in need of help. In the heavenly courts, when the redeemed are gathered home, they will stand nearest the Son of God. They will shine brightly in the courts of the Lord, honored by Him because they have felt it an honor to minister to those for whom He gave His life. Testimonies for the Church, 7:25-26. The Church on earth, united with the Church in heaven, can accomplish all things. Testimonies for the Church, 7:31.